If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in for another episode of Beyond the Arc. It is that time of the year. It's March. We have brackets. It's the best. We just got the unveiling of the bracket for this NCAA tournament and just got so many thoughts, so many things to dive into, thinking about all the upsets and everything. Who's going to win? I don't know who I like yet. It's going to be very tough reacting to everything right now. But we're going to get into it. All the upsets here. We're just going to go right through all the matchups here to start off. Then towards the end, get into some of my picks. Maybe some games to watch, like, because everybody loves seeing those 5-12 upsets, a 4-13, 6-11, picking those kind of upsets. So we're going to get into those. And so let's just go ahead and just dive right into it. Starting off in the East, you got UConn getting the number one overall seed, the reigning national champs, making another run at it, and I really do think they could. I really do. They have everything you need to make it a national championship caliber team. You've got tremendous guard play. Tristan Newton is really good. He's got the most triple doubles in school history. He's gotten a few this year. He's really good alongside Cam Spencer in the backcourt. A really good shooter. They got the size down low with Donovan Clingan, a 7-footer, can just bang with anybody down low. He is really good. And then you got Stephon Castle, really talented freshman. They're deep. You got Alex Caraban, really good shooter for them. They've just got all the experience. They returned a lot of key pieces from last year with Clingan, who came off the bench. You got Tristan Newton, who's the starting point guard. You got Caraban coming back. Stephon Castle, I think that he is the difference maker for this UConn team. I really do. He is really athletic, really strong, and lengthy. He can guard anybody on the court. You're probably going to see him guarding mostly everybody's best offensive player, and he's going to do a great job on them. I do feel bad for this UConn team slightly, just because this region might be the toughest region of the whole bracket. I mean, you end up getting Auburn at a 4, who just won the SEC today. You got Illinois at the 3, who won the Big 10, and Iowa State, who just throttled Houston in the Big 12. They're the 2, and a lot of people are making a strong case for them to be the 1. I think this is a very difficult bracket for UConn, but I do like them. They play Stetson. I don't think they'll have any issues there. Really like this UConn team a lot. Let's get into the 8-9 matchup then right there with the Florida Atlantic. Yes, the Owls are an 8 seed. Last year I think they were a 9 seed. And they made that magical run to the Final Four, had a lead in the Final Four game against San Diego State. But San Diego State ultimately got the win because of a massive buzzer beater from Lamont Butler and ended Florida Atlantic's Cinderella run. But they returned, I'm pretty sure, like 8 of the 9 players from that team last year. They got Northwestern in the 8-9 matchup. There's a statistic out there about, like, as you know, the Big Ten teams, you want to fade the Big Ten teams in the tournament, high seed and stuff, but when they're in that like 7-10 range, so an 8-9, they are really good. Actually, the percentages of them winning are very high. Florida Atlantic's got Northwestern, very intriguing guard matchup here with Jonnell Davis for FAU and Boo Booey for Northwestern. Northwestern, they got the fourth seed in the Big Ten, I'm pretty sure. They lost to Wisconsin in the quarterfinals. I think this favors Northwestern. I don't think we're going to get another Cinderella run from Florida Atlantic because, one, I think they got lucky last year because they didn't have to play Purdue. Boo Booey, he was an all Big Ten caliber player. He was a first-team All-Big Ten. One of the best guards in America. I think he's good enough at drawing fouls and just dictating the pace of every game. Northwestern defends well. They've got a great point guard, like I just said, with Boo Booey. It's going to be interesting for sure. I think I'm going to lean Northwestern just because I think Boo Booey can take them there, and I don't trust. There's a lot of people were wanting Florida Atlantic to be out. Them being an 8 seed is kind of outrageous to me, but we'll see. It seems like Florida Atlantic, sometimes when they've been doubted, they've just somehow found a way this year. I think I'm probably going to lean Northwestern to face UConn then in the round of 32. And then here's another interesting potential storyline. We're going to get into so many storylines here with this bracket. But San Diego State is the 5th seed in the East region. They play UAB, who just won the American in their first year of the American Conference. San Diego State went to the national championship last year, and they lost to UConn. Well, they are now the 5th seed in UConn's region. So a potential Sweet 16 matchup of last year's national championship game, that would just be very crazy to me, very wild. And San Diego State, they definitely can do it. They get up for this month. Jaden Ledee, he is an All-American type player, averaging over 20 points a game. He is really talented, a very skilled big. I like him a lot down low. I think San Diego State shouldn't have any issues with UAB in this one. UAB, the American was very weird this year with how, I mean, they had to play Temple, who was like an 11 seed. Temple beat Florida Atlantic. But San Diego State, I think they shouldn't have any issues there in advance to the round of 32. Then in the 4-13 game, we got Auburn versus Yale. Yale won their game on a buzzer beater to win the Ivy League and clinch the automatic bid to the tournament. Very wild game there. But I've been high on this Auburn team all year. They defend really well. They can really score from all areas of the floor. They have a solid inside game. And I think that's where they're going to get San Diego State in the next round, is because they can defend well. They're long, they are so long everywhere. Like from 1 through 5, they are just active defensively, very physical, very strong. And that's why I think they can get to a Sweet 16, beating San Diego State and potentially even challenge UConn, just because I think the matchups are there that can help them make it a good game. But I like Auburn there in that one. BYU gets Duquesne, a bid stealer out of the Atlantic 10. BYU, they've been pretty good this year. They're really talented when they can get hot. If they're cold, it's really bad. We saw that in a few games in the Big 12 tournament where they got hot and hit double digit threes. I think they're very experienced. I think they shouldn't have any issues with Duquesne there. Illinois and Morehead State, the 3 versus 14, there's some of them you want to watch out for, but this one isn't one of them. Terrence Shannon Jr. for Illinois. Illinois is a team that I hate that they're in this region, because if they were in any other region, I'd probably be putting them in the Final Four. Just because UConn has been so dominant, I don't know if anybody's going to get past them, but you never know. Illinois just has so many matchup problems. Like, they don't start a guy shorter than 6'6". Terrence Shannon Jr., he is just a blur in the open floor. You need to basically pick him up at half court to stop him from getting downhill. And if he's getting a full head of steam and getting downhill, he's getting right to the rim and scoring. You're not stopping it. It's just plain and simple. He set like a Big Ten tournament record with points in a game with in the Big Ten semifinals against Nebraska. He put up 40. He had 28 against Ohio State in the quarterfinals, and I'm pretty sure he had 34 against Wisconsin in the championship. Just a walking bucket, very skilled left-hander, can shoot, can attack. He's, like I just said, he's a blur in the open floor. They also have another really talented guard with Marcus Domask transferring in to Illinois. Marcus Domask, he is a very skilled guard, athletic wing, likes to use his size to get down low and battle with smaller guards. And that's why he's had success in the Big Ten this year, is he's been basically the tallest, I guess, point forward. And like a few times against Wisconsin this year, I really liked his matchup, and like in the Big Ten championship game today, and he played really well for Wisconsin, or for Illinois. Along with they got Coleman Hawkins, a really talented big down low. He's skinny, but he's long, lengthy, strong, 6'10". He can defend, block shots. He's a big time difference maker for Illinois. So I think Illinois is a dangerous team to watch here, to maybe even get past UConn and get to the Final Four. Washington State and Drake, the 7-10 game, in the East region, is a very interesting game. I'm going to probably lose sleep over this one, but a part of me is kind of feeling like, since it's being like we saw in college football, the Pac-12, Washington getting to the national championship game and everything, the Pac-12 is going to go out with a last hurrah and like a bunch of their teams are going to go on. I don't think that's the case with this one. I really like Drake. Tucker DeReeves is a very good basketball player, very talented, very skilled, and a name that you're going to have to get used to in March, because he could go crazy against Washington State and very easily could go crazy for against Iowa State in the round of 32 if they were to get there. He is really good, really skilled, can shoot, can attack, just he's long, athletic. So I like Drake to get by there. And then Iowa State playing South Dakota, the 2-15 matchup. Iowa State probably got the toughest draw for any two seed here, because Washington State and Drake are both very good. South Dakota State is no sleeper either, and we've seen it a few times the past few years here with a 15 seed beating a 2 seed. Now, I don't anticipate that happening this year, but you never know. Iowa State looked really good in the Big 12 tournament. They just steamrolled Houston. Was not expecting that at all. They did to Houston what Houston does to other teams. They force turnovers. They shoot the ball really well. And they're just very talented. I like Iowa State a lot to get by there. Not have any issues. 1 second. For Iowa State, the two guys, their backcourt is really talented. Tamlin Lipsey and Keshawn Gilbert. Really talented guards there for them. One of the best defensive backcourts in the country. You could argue Jamal Shedd and LJ Cryer, but those two just dismantled Houston's backcourt in the Big 12 championship. I also love their small forward, Milan Moncilovic. Very talented forward, stretch four. That is a big time difference maker. So that's where I like the first matchups. Stuff you need to know there. And then in the South, we're going to go across the bracket, go to the South. Houston and Longwood. Houston, I think this will be a good, like, pick me up after getting rolled on in the Big 12 championship game against Iowa State. I think this is going to be a good game for them, and they'll advance. The 8-9 game, Nebraska and Texas A&M. This is appointment television, because this is going to be probably the best guard versus guard matchup of the round of 64 games. Keisei Tominaga for Nebraska and Wade Taylor IV for Texas A&M. Those two can pull up points in a hurry. I've watched a few Texas A&M games this year, and their backcourt, it's not a great defensive backcourt. So that's why I like Tominaga to kind of explode in this game and become maybe a March name that you're going to remember. But I think Texas A&M is going to get by here, because they are one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. They're going to attack the glass and then potentially give Houston some problems in the round of 32 because of how aggressive they are. They did meet in the regular season earlier, and Houston only won by 4. I think that's what could kind of scare me, is picking Texas A&M, because their backcourt does not pick it up defensively. And that's where Nebraska thrives with Tominaga and just shooting on the perimeter. They were one of the best teams in the Big Ten at shooting the three. They will explode if they're not, if the defensive pressure isn't extended. So that's why I think I'm leaning Texas A&M, though, because their backcourt is very experienced with Wade Taylor, Tyrese Radford, and Henry Coleman III can just be a monster down low on the glass. Then we got Wisconsin and James Madison, another 5-12 here. That's probably going to be a lot of heavy favorites for an upset pick, and I'm going to go right there with it. James Madison, it's been the year of the Dukes. It has been the year for them. College football, they almost were claiming to be in the New Year's Six Bowl. They're undefeated and everything. Had College Game Day there. Start the college basketball season, they beat Michigan State, and everybody was high on Michigan State this year. I was very high on Michigan State, that's for sure. But they've got some very impressive wins this year. They won their conference. They now get Wisconsin. Wisconsin, they had kind of went through a little slump towards the end of the Big Ten regular season, and then they picked it back up in the tournament. They smacked Maryland. Then beat Northwestern pretty well, upset Purdue in overtime in the semifinals, and then had a pretty good battle with Illinois today. But because of what I know they can get to, James Madison is a very good defensive team. They really get after it. I think this is going to be one of my first upsets, because I think, have I gone all chalk other than the 8 and 9s? I've picked the 9s. So far, yeah, I didn't have any, like, big major upsets in the East region. But this is going to be my first upset, James Madison. I'm going there. And then Duke and Vermont, I think this could be another favorite upset pick with Duke and Vermont. Vermont potentially beating Duke because of how Duke has looked recently. I think Duke will figure it out. They needed this kind of break. Losing to NC State in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. I think they'll find a way and get to the round of 32 and play James Madison. But James Madison could beat Duke and get to the Sweet 16 and play Houston. That'll be very interesting for sure. Moving on down in the South region, Texas Tech and NC State. NC State, got to give credit when credit's due. Winning 5 games in 5 days is very, very impressive. They were very fun to watch in the ACC tournament, that's for sure. DJ Burns is a name and a player that America needed for the NCAA tournament. He's just an awesome player. Got good guards and very good defensive guards as well. DJ Horn, he was just getting bucket after bucket against North Carolina in the ACC championship, it seemed like. But I feel like their magic could run out here. After securing that automatic bid, they got up pretty big for that ACC championship. But I think Texas Tech can move on here. Kentucky and Oakland. Kentucky, what scares me the most about them is they are consistent at being inconsistent. They can go through one game, they're looking like an NBA team, putting up 117 points and this and that, not missing a shot. And then all of a sudden, and then one night they look tremendous on defense, and their defense really hasn't been great all year. But then they have a kind of collapse, and defense doesn't pick up, which is kind of crazy because I think Reed Sheppard, their freshman, is one of the best on-ball defenders in college basketball. And I don't understand them losing to A&M in the SEC tournament, but A&M just had Kentucky's number this year, I guess. They're not an excellent rebounding team, like facing an A&M where they just get dominating the boards. Oakland's a sneaky team here. They're not bad. They've hung with a few teams, a few power conference teams this year. They won their conference tournament. Then now they get Kentucky. This region is set up perfectly for Kentucky to at least get to the Elite Eight. I think they can get to the Sweet 16 with who they could be playing in the round of 32, Texas Tech or NC State. And then you just never know what you're going to get from Marquette right now. They they showed without Kolek that, yeah, they can still hang around and compete. But if they're still, if they somehow were to get to the Sweet 16 without Kolek, can they still survive, you know? So this is set up perfectly for Kentucky to get to the Elite Eight. And I don't know. I think Houston has some flaws because they are the best defense in the country. I'm worried that for how physical they get defensively, it could affect them. It could, it really could, I think. And so I think Kentucky will move on, get to the Sweet 16 there. Florida, and they get the winner of, why is it not filled in on this? I'm pretty sure it's Boise State and Colorado. Yeah, it's Boise State and Colorado. Boise State and Colorado, and Florida just took a big loss in the SEC Championship, losing one of their big men. That's going to hurt them a lot. They have a really talented backcourt with Walter Clayton Jr. And now I can't think of his name. Let me try and find that real quick. Florida, they've got a really talented backcourt, like I just said. I'm pulling it up right now. Zion Polan, he is just really talented backcourt there. I'm worried though that the loss that they suffered today, I can't remember the guy's name that got hurt. I think it, because I like Colorado a lot. With Cody Simpson, a projected lottery pick in the upcoming NBA draft. I think he's going to make a name for himself in the tournament. I like Marquette, or not Marquette, I don't know why I said, I just looked at their name, that's why I said it. I like Colorado to potentially win their play-in game against Boise State. The committee was not high on the Mountain West this year, and it really showed, and the Mountain West really hasn't performed well in the tournament when they get a lot of bids. So I think Colorado, Pac-12, finishing strong. I think they're going to move on to round of 32 and then get Marquette. Marquette's playing Western Kentucky. But I'm confident that with or without Kolek, they can move on there. So I think the only upset I had was James Madison upsetting Wisconsin. I could see Vermont upsetting Duke. Anytime that Duke, I have faded them this year when they have faced teams with very talented bigs. And like just strong, massive, like a DJ Burns or Armando Bacot that they've played in the ACC this year. Arizona at the beginning of the year, they played Umar Ballo and Keyshawn Johnson, and they struggled and they ended up losing that game. So that's something that I've been watching for, is because they can't really defend the bigs well, for Duke. So I think those are the upsets to watch there in that region. Moving down to the bottom right with the third overall number one seed, Purdue. I think this is the easiest path for Purdue to just, it's a cakewalk to the Final Four, as it should be. Losing last year to Fairleigh Dickinson, 1-16, and they have an easy path. One seed again, I think they're going to make it to Sweet 16 with ease. They'll get Utah State or TCU. For me, it's tough because I feel like I'm leaning with a lot of the nines in these matchups, and I don't like that. But it's the Big 12 versus the Mountain West. And like I just said, the Mountain West hasn't performed entirely great in the NCAA tournament. And the Big 12 is the best. It was the best conference in basketball this last year. They got a record 8 bids for their conference. That's the most they've ever gotten. So I like TCU to advance there. But then Purdue is going to the Sweet 16. These 5-12 and 4-13 matchups are very, very interesting. I'm very high on McNeese against Gonzaga. I like that as a potential upset there, and potentially to get into the Sweet 16. They got 30 wins on the year. Will Wade has done a tremendous job with them. The name to remember with them is Shahada Wells. I don't know if I said that right, but he is a very talented guard. And McNeese, they're so good defensively. They can score. really well from all areas of the floor. They're very experienced, and that's what you need in teams to make a deep run, pull off a big time upset like this. I like Gonzaga a lot as well. They've got one of the best guards in the tournament with Ryan Nimhard. But Nolan Hickman is his backcourt running mate, and Graham Ike down low. But McNeese has had a tremendous year this year. I think that they can move on. And then Kansas and Samford is another matchup to watch for a potential upset. And I hate that, because a few weeks ago I said no matter what, I'm putting Kansas in the Sweet 16. Because I was like, I don't see Bill Self not getting to the Sweet 16 in back-to-back years. Well, that very thing could happen, because this has not been the type of year that Kansas is used to having. They got bounced in their first tournament game of the Big 12 because they didn't have Kevin McCullough Jr. and Hunter Dickinson. They were resting them, making sure they were getting healthy for the NCAA tournament. And I don't even know if they're going to be 100% healthy for this game. Kansas is not deep. They struggle to shoot at times. If McCullough and Dickinson aren't 100%, where are you going to get your offense from? Johnny Furphy can't do a whole lot. He's a really talented scorer. He's like a Grady Dick for them last year. KJ Adams, he's not a proven shooter. Nick Timberlake hasn't planned out to what they expected him to be. And so it's been tough finding offense when their top guys are down. And I think that's what could hurt Kansas here. So I think I'm just going to go with the 13 and the 12 here, both winning. And then McNeese going to the Sweet 16. And then, yeah, it's Purdue getting a 12 seed McNeese. Purdue's on a redemption tour. Mark them down in the Elite Eight. That's just going to happen. South Carolina and Oregon. This is a very popular 11 versus 6 matchup to pick the upset in this one. Oregon just becoming a bid sealer, winning the Pac-12. Can't remember his name now, of course. They beat Arizona, came back and beat them in a very impressive win in the semifinals of the Pac-12. Nefele Dante, he's healthy and looking good now, just a monster and a load to handle down low. They can defend well on the perimeter. And Tony Alford, he finds a way. When his teams get into March, they're starting to trend upward, they find a way. I thought I heard today that he has not lost a first-round matchup, so that's very interesting to see. I like Michi Johnson, former Buckeye, to potentially be a trendy name here in March as well, getting to the NCAA tournament, first time for him since 2022, I think, when Ohio State lost to Nova, I think so. His first time getting back. The last time that the Final Four was in Phoenix in 2017, South Carolina pulled off a magic run, went to the Final Four. They were a 7 seed that year. They beat Duke en route to doing that. But they got to the Final Four last time it was in Phoenix. So I think it's something interesting to watch. I know a lot of the trends tend towards Oregon in this one. But I don't know. I'm kind of feeling South Carolina. I think I might go there. And then in the 3 versus 14, Creighton versus Akron. Creighton is a dark horse team to potentially get to Arizona, get to Phoenix, and upsetting Purdue in the Elite Eight. Baylor Shireman, Trey Alexander, really talented duo there. Ryan Kalkbrenner down low. Steven Ashworth was a tremendous pickup for them from Utah State. He can really shoot the three as well. Akron, I don't know if any of you guys saw that, how the MAC championship ended. My heart goes out to that kid from Kent State that inadvertently fouled Akron when they had the lead, sending Akron to the line for 2 free throws in the win. But Creighton, they're really talented offensively. They're going to come into this with a chip on their shoulder. They got to the Elite Eight last year and had a chance at winning. Thought they got robbed with a questionable call late. But so they're going to come in with this with a chip on their shoulder. they lost their first game of the Big East tournament. And it's something to note that nobody has ever gone on to win the national championship after losing their first conference tournament game. So there's something to note there, but it doesn't pan well for Tennessee either, who is further down in this bracket as the 2 seed. I like Creighton to get to the Sweet 16, though, because I think they have the experience and the firepower to do that. Ryan Cockbrenner is a Defensive Player of the Year in the Big East, I think, 3 times in a row. Just if it gets down low, there's a very slim chance that you're scoring. He's just that good. He's a great, excellent rim protector for Creighton there. Like I just said, they got the firepower outside with Ashworth, Trey Alexander, and Baylor Shireman. The 7-10 game, we got Texas playing whoever wins in the play-in, Virginia and Colorado State. I'm just going to be straightforward with you. Virginia, this team, I don't know how they made the tournament. Their offense is horrible. Their offense is absolutely horrible. I don't think they get past Colorado State in the play-in. I think his name is Caleb Stevens. For Colorado State, I like him a lot, and to potentially challenge Texas with their backcourt of Tyrese Hunter, Max Asemus. They got Dylan Dessoud down low. Texas is a very deep and experienced roster. I think they can win this game and move on, play Tennessee. But Tennessee, they got St. Peter's, who is back in the tournament after a year absence from their Elite Eight run a few years ago, beating Kentucky and Purdue. This is a scary sight for Purdue with St. Peter's being in the same bracket as them. But Tennessee, I think it's tough because I just don't know what to expect from them. A few weeks ago, I was like, wow, yeah, this is a Final Four team. They got everything you need for it. Dalton Connect, I think this is going to be a nice chance for him to showcase his ability, one of the best scorers in the country, if not the best, averaging over 20 points a game. Sakai Ziegler was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. He's just a very, just really aggressive, can pick you up anywhere, point guard, just really talented on the defensive end. They can get really physical. They're another extremely tough defense there from the SEC. But I think that they will move on from this matchup. Moving over to the bottom left in the West, here as we finish this up, North Carolina, they're the 1 seed in the West. They're the final 1 seed. They'll move on, and this will probably be the toughest, if not in the Houston game, whoever Houston gets in the 8-9 matchup, from the 8-9 matchup. Mississippi State and Michigan State. It's going to be a very interesting matchup there with Carolina, because Mississippi State has a top 5 defense in the country. Let me check KenPom. We got that pulled up here for you. I guess the adjusted defense for Mississippi State is 20th. I mean, it's still very good. They will not be no pushover, that's for sure. Mississippi State, and they got a really talented freshman guard, Joshua Hubbard. That's what they did to Tennessee. They just dismantled them and just forced turnovers. They did an excellent job defensively against Tennessee in the SEC tournament. They draw Michigan State. Michigan State, it's always the saying, Tom Izzo in March. Tom Izzo in March. However, them being at a 9 is outrageous as well. I think they should have been a lower, maybe even at 11 seed. I don't know. But I don't know how they got this high for them. Did not have the year they were expecting. Had a lot of bad losses. Did not have a great records in the quads. But there's still the thing, Tom Izzo in March. Tom Izzo in March. Especially when he has a lower seed, it seems like. They've got the experience. I'm pretty sure they start 4 seniors. Tyson Walker is a really talented wing. They were pretty sure they were the 7 seed last year, and they beat Marquette, the 2 seed, to advance to the Sweet 16. Can something like happen like that happen again? I don't know. We'll see. They got to get past Mississippi State first, and I think a lot of people are going to be thinking, looking at this and saying, Tom Izzo in March. And just automatically put Michigan State playing North Carolina, because that's what everybody's going to want to see. But don't be surprised if Mississippi State gets this one. I think I might put Mississippi State over into the round of 32 playing North Carolina. St. Mary's and Grand Canyon. This, I feel like I'm going to have 3-12 upsetting fives. Grand Canyon, I think this upset's going to happen, I think. Grand Canyon, they've been to the tournament, winning their conference the past few years, and just haven't been able to get over the hump. They are so good defensively. Very long, athletic, all over the place. They can get out and run, shoot. What St. Mary's can get them, though, is St. Mary's can just dictate the pace of the game with Aiden Mahaney running the point. And I think that's where that could maybe get Grand Canyon, by them slowing it down. So I don't know. We'll have to see there with that. But I think I like Grand Canyon to get this one. Alabama and Charleston, the 4-13. Alabama, this game right here, it could be first. It'll be a first team to 100 wins. There's not going to be hardly any defense. Just two extremely good offenses. Charleston is basically Alabama, but Alabama does it better. They've got tremendous guard with Mark Sears, and Aaron Estrada transferred in, and then Grant Nelson down low. So I think I like Alabama to get here, and then they'll play Grand Canyon in the Sweet 16. Clemson and New Mexico. New Mexico's got an outstanding backcourt, and if New Mexico were to upset Clemson, I think they can maybe catch Baylor in the round of 32. New Mexico with Jamal Mashburn, he is a very talented guard, and could be a name to watch here in March as well, because, you know, guards just own the month of March. I think I'm going to lean Clemson with this one, though. With PJ Hall down low, you got Joe Girard. I think this is the time for Clemson to get over the hump and get a victory in the NCAA tournament and move on. And then I think they'll play Baylor. I don't think Baylor will have any problems with Colgate. Very talented freshman, if not one of the best. He's probably the best scoring one of the freshmen, Jacoby Walter. They got RJ Dennis as well. So I think Baylor won't have any issues there. Moving on down, Dayton and Nevada. I think I'm going to go Dayton. I'm going to continue to fade the Mountain West teams. I'm just going to do it. Deron Holmes has been playing like an All-American this year. I think he is a very talented player and somebody that's built for this month. So I think I like Dayton there. Arizona and Long Beach State, no questions there. Arizona's going to happen. It's going to be the matchup in the Elite Eight that we dreamed of. North Carolina and Arizona in the Elite Eight. Caleb Love against his former team. I think that's what's going to happen. I feel like that's just how it's going to be. I really do. So here now to wrap up, I'm going to give you my Elite Eight Final Four National Champion pick. In the East region, I got UConn getting to the Elite Eight, playing Illinois. I really like Terrence Shannon Jr. I think that they'll have way too many matchup problems in this one. They can defend as well, which I like Illinois to get to the Elite Eight, but BYU could catch them if BYU is hot. So don't be surprised if that happens. But I think I'm going to go Illinois just because I like Terrence Shannon Jr. a lot. I'm really high on them. They've got the matchups that they're just going to prevent matchup problems everywhere and can really challenge UConn. In the South, I'm gonna stay chalky here and go Houston and Marquette, because I do think that Tyler Kolek will be back for Marquette. In the Midwest, then, I already penciled in Purdue for the Elite Eight. I'm gonna go. Oh, this is gonna, it's gonna be a fun game. Creighton and Tennessee, I think it's gonna be a very, very fun game. Wow. I'm gonna lose sleep over this one. I think right now I might go Tennessee just because I love Dalton Knecht. He is a really good basketball player. So we got Purdue and Tennessee. So we got a 1-3 and then 1-2 in the on the right. And we got a 1-2 in the bottom left, because it's just gonna happen. North Carolina, Arizona. It's gonna go, it's just gonna happen. I'm sorry guys. I think last year was just way too crazy. That this year is just going to be all chalk. I really do. UConn's been the most dominant team. They're just a freaking freight train right now. I think they're going to roll. I think Houston will get it figured out, and I think if Tyler Cole looks healthy for Marquette, they can be a serious problem. I've already penciled in Purdue for the Elite Eight. I told you that. I don't think either Texas or anybody on that bottom half of the right in the Midwest, I don't think anybody can pick off Tennessee there. Creighton could. That'll be a very interesting game. The Midwest is just set up perfectly for North Carolina, Arizona. It's just going to happen. So then my final four, we've got UConn coming out of the East. I am going to go Marquette out of the Midwest, because they pressure you all over the floor. Shaka Smart, they are just going to have it figured out. Even if Tyler Kolek's not on, Cam Jones is a tremendous second option. He's a flamethrower, and he didn't even get a vote for it to be on any Big East teams, which is crazy to me. But I think as long as Tyler Kolek is healthy, I'm putting Marquette in the Final Four. And then Purdue, I think this is just going to be their run, their redemption run. I'm going to put Purdue in the Final Four. North Carolina, Arizona, the storyline that everybody wants. But I'm going with my heels. I'm going with my Tar Heels in this one to get to the Final Four, get back to Phoenix when it was the last time in Phoenix. North Carolina ended up getting the win there, bringing home the national championship. So we got UConn, North Carolina, and Marquette, Purdue. I think it's going to be UConn and Purdue. I'm sorry, North Carolina. I think the matchup problems, they're just all over the floor. Because, I mean, UConn, they don't start a guy shorter than 6'5", I'm pretty sure. And North Carolina's two guards aren't taller than 6 foot. So it's just going to be matchup problems there for North Carolina, I think. And I wouldn't be shocked, though, because North Carolina has a tremendous defense, and R.J. Davis can catch fire. He's somebody I think that can really pop off here in the month of March. But UConn and Purdue in the national championship, and I have UConn going back-to-back just because it would be so cool to see that happen. They've been the most dominant team all year. I think I trust Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer more than Braden Smith and Fletcher Loyer. And Donovan Clingan can match up down low, and so can Samson Johnson coming off the bench for them. UConn is deep. I think UConn gets it done, repeats. Danny Hurley is just going to be creating a legacy for himself there in stores and bring home another national championship for UConn. So there you have it, the bracket preview for this episode of Beyond the Arc. It's that time of the year. It's awesome. Just starts here in a few days. Can't wait. Thanks so much for tuning in. This has been the bracket preview of Beyond the Arc. We'll see you next time.